You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
This program at 5, but so far nobody's shown up.
So we'll just chit-chat
for a little bit longer.
I got an appointment in a little while. Not this very moment, but Adam's right. But going back to GemVac Vets, I've been here for years. Adam's been here for years. And it's people say, why you go there? And I don't know. They just don't get it, you know. Yeah. It's my wife gets it now.
It's a camaraderie.
We go up there and bust each other's chops. The Army and the Marines fight mentally, verbally.
Right.
The Navy tries to stick their fingers in there. Then the Air Force, they sit down. But it's terrific.
Well, I think anybody who's had a common experience, and frankly, we haven't talked about the psychological impact of what happened over there. But, you know, this was such an alien type of thing, even for the kids out of Wisconsin that did a lot of hunting. So, I mean, they were used to, you know, using guns, hunting. But, you know, they weren't used to doing and being in that kind of an environment. They'd even seen all the World War II movies. But it was, I don't want to use the word culture shock, but that it was. Even if you had been there, not in a war, I mean, it was so culturally different. The country was so different. It had to be, just such an alien place.
Yeah, one of the tragic things about Vietnam was you got to really like people, but you never really knew their real names. I mean, you knew intimate details about them, their love life, their family, whatever. But if they were to get wounded, they were swept up in a helicopter, disappeared, and his name was Hop. You know, that's all you knew. And a corpsman I've been looking for years, Fitzy, that was all we knew. He was a new corpsman. He was coming to help my buddy Joe, who I'm still in touch with, who was severely wounded. The corpsman, he took 3 rounds in the midsection. My fire team was carrying him up very steep incline through dense jungle to try and get him medevaced. He looks up at me as blood is leaching out of his body, and he says, why don't you guys set me down and take a break? And for the life of me, I've been trying to find out if this guy ever made it. And with the help of the computer, I found in headquarters company, there was a Michael M. Fitzpatrick who was attached, and that's where our corpsman came from. Now I got to look forward, and I don't know where he came from, if this is in fact the Fitzy that we carried up to medevac. A lot of people,
but you know,
you didn't know if they ever survived. What happened to them?
And you know, if he didn't, and I think you've probably heard this story before, Joe, but my brother Mike, who was with Mike Baldwin, probably 10 years after Vietnam, my brother happened to be here and said, do you know anything about Ringo's, New Jersey? And I said, yeah, it's right up the road. Well, make a long story a little shorter, we didn't want to contact his family because we didn't know whether he'd want to talk to my brother. So we went through the VFW. Anyway, the family really wanted to talk to my brother because my brother was talking to him when he was killed. And, you know, so we went there. And actually, that was the first time my brother really opened up about Vietnam. But his family was so happy to hear and talk to my brother. So if, in fact, this Fitzy didn't make it, if you could ever find his family, I'm sure that they would be, interested in you know, in hearing from someone who had been with him and, you know, at least knew something about, you know, his last, perhaps the last time he was alive. But that had to be difficult. And on the other hand, something, I do volunteer work for soldiers. And one of the things that I've seen is that maybe if there was anything good about Vietnam, it seemed to me that you were there for 1 year. You knew exactly when you were going to leave.
That's correct.
And I think psychologically that had to be helpful, because I've actually helped some soldiers now, and they've been on 3 tours.
Yep.
You know, 4 tours. I think they're finally putting a little space between the tours, but, you know, these guys were basically coming back and getting sent back. And,
that's,
you know,
we have a smaller pool to choose from.
There he is.
There is no draft.
That's right.
Well, that's true, but I think that, that giving somebody that kind of time was helpful. Hi, one of the sports guys are here, so we're
okay.
About to wrap up. Is there anything that I could
Mr.
ask the
Tasty
two of you?
That's me.
to, you know, anything else other than tell people out there again where you meet on Tuesdays. I think that's important.
Jim Back, it's up on Route 31 North, right in Glen Gardner, and you'll see a big sign on the side of the highway which says Mealy. And that's the vacuum cleaner brand. But right next to it is Gem Vacuum. That's how it started. And we became Gem Vac Vets, veterans. But you go up there on a Tuesday at 10, you can't miss 50 cars. They're lined the highway. And they just, they're like, what is it, lemmings or something that came back? And they're all guys from World War II. We got guys that are living history. And you want to hear what they talk about. Oh, Guadalcanal. We have a guy that was at Guadalcanal. His story, he's in a book. Oh, my God, that was a hell war. So we have World War II guys, Vietnam, Korea. Nobody talks about Korea.
No, they don't.
Nobody talks about Korea.
But I also,
whatever happened to Korea? I mean, a terrible place.
You know, before we end, one thing I also wanted to say is I understand now that there is a place for homeless vets,
yes,
at Hagedorn. And,
absolutely.
You know, tell a little bit about that.
There's two places. There was Veterans Haven in South Jersey.
Right.
They opened Veterans Haven North in the old Hagedorn facility. And it's a 2-year program to get homeless vets back on their feet. And us GEMVAC vets, the last Tuesday of the month, we generally go up there and we commiserate with the veterans.
They come out and they give us breakfast.
Lunch with them.
Lunch.
And
try to get them out of their hole.
Our Military Order Purple Heart has hosted a pizza karaoke party up there for them. And
they fell on bad times. Some of them are in drugs, and they
right.
do counseling. Some of them just fell on bad times, but they got 2 years and get their act together and get out.
Well,
but it's a great
they have
building.
Women veterans up there, too.
No, it is a great building.
Beautiful
building.
And the people are wonderful. It's the best I've seen, and it's you see the abandoned hospital off on a distant, and then you see this beautiful building, looks like a Spanish hacienda. It's a great program. We're very happy to be supportive of it. We're up there. We support it. We go up there, try to get the guys out. We talk, and they love to chat.
Yeah, on one occasion, an individual donated a Honda automobile to GEMVAC, and we says, well, what are we going to do with this car? It was a good running car. We found somebody up there I wanted to say Hagedorn.
Well, I say Hagedorn, too, because that was.
Yeah, but we gave it to him.
North.
So he can go to get a job.
And donated the car.
So donated the car to him.
An individual up there who needed one for employment.
So it's a great place, and they're doing good stuff up there. It's under the Department of Veterans Affairs. They have a paid staff up there, and they're all good people. So, yeah.
Well, it is important, because I know many of the guys came back and had pretty serious drug problems.
Yep.
Even my daughter, who had worked in, you know, even up till a few years ago, she was working with guys in Trenton.
Well, my dear, I have
to
leave.
So thank you both.
No, I don't mean to cut you short, but
no,
thank you.
We're going to thank you both, and thank you for anyone listening. And, you know, let's appreciate everybody who's keeping our country safe and all of those guys who've done it, and especially the Vietnam veterans who we unfortunately didn't thank when they came back. And who've done so much for our country. So thanks, guys, and we'll be back with the sports guys after the news.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. The U.S. Supreme Court is agreeing to hear a case dealing with abortion. The High Court has decided to consider challenges to the tough limits placed on abortion clinics in Texas and Mississippi. At issue is whether states are imposing restrictions on abortion that constitute an undue burden on women. It'll be the first major abortion-related case to go to the Supreme Court since 2007. Oral argument should occur early next year, and a decision could come by the end of June. White House spokesman Josh Earnest says U.S. officials are still working to confirm the death of the ISIS leader known as Jihadi John. The Kuwaiti-born Briton was targeted in a U.S. drone strike in northern Syria. Earnest described Jihadi John as a strategist for ISIS.
He was involved in their efforts to recruit and radicalize individuals around the globe. He was somebody who demonstrated some sophistication with social media.
Pentagon officials say they are reasonably certain that Jihadi John was killed. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Musicians, this year at Guitar Center, we're counting down to Black Friday with new doorbuster deals in every department each and every day. Guitars, drums, mics, keys, accessories, and more. From now until Thanksgiving, we're featuring gear from top brands like JBL, Schecter, Shure, AKG, Sabian, Pearl, GoPro, and more at savings of up to 30% off. Prices so low, we can't advertise them. Discover limited-time savings during Guitar Center's countdown to Black Friday with four new doorbuster deals revealed every day and good only while supplies last. So check back daily, in-store and at GuitarCenter.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Democratic presidential candidates gather in Iowa tomorrow night for their latest debate. Hillary Clinton, Senator Bernie Sanders, and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley will be on the big stage at Drake University. CBS will carry the debate starting at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Carly Fiorina is taking issue with Donald Trump's latest attack on fellow GOP presidential hopeful Ben Carson. Trump went after Carson yesterday, claiming Carson lied about his upbringing in his books and likened Carson's temper to a pathological disease. Fiorina said Trump is the one who has stretched the truth.
He said a few things that are not true as well, including that he was in a green room with Putin. He wasn't. Or he went to Wharton. He didn't. Or that he's self-funding his campaign. He's not.
Fiorina went on to praise Carson on Fox News as a brilliant doctor and a man who personifies the American dream. Thousands of cans of SpaghettiOs are being recalled. Campbell's Soup Company said Thursday it was voluntarily recalling 355,000 cans after pieces of red plastic were found in a small number. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes,
hi, it's the Sports Guys. We're coming on a little late today, and just wanted to let you know about the weather. Let's see. Tomorrow and Sunday, partly sunny tomorrow, and then mostly sunny, including breezy. Clear tomorrow night, and again, sunny on Sunday. So we're back. We're going to do the sports program, and our sports guys here today, we have three of us. And last week, three of us went to the Devils game, so we missed the program. And so, Ken, we haven't seen you in a few weeks. So what do you have to say for yourself? This is Ken Milstray, Pat Smits, and Bill Wolfson. And our only missing compadre today is John Manfreda.
It's funny you should say that. Last week you went to the Devils game, Pat. The week before, I actually went to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms game out in Allentown. They were playing somebody called the St. John's Ice Caps from St. John's, Newfoundland, and I had to look up to see exactly where that is. You know, it's halfway to Greenland from here. That's how far
yes.
St. John's is
yes.
from here. It's a long way away. It was a great game, great facility. PP&L Center is a fantastic place. Seats 9,000. You think you're at an NHL game. You really do.
Really?
That's how good the facility is and the quality of play. I'd recommend it to anybody.
It is a brand new arena. I haven't been there yet, but I think that should be one of our sports guys' road trips. And wouldn't it be cool to be able to get a bus and go up there on a Saturday night here from Flemington?
Oh, I think you're right.
Be great. So, let's do it.
And what are the cost of the tickets? I'm sure they're a lot
more reasonable. $9, $10
I think they're a little more than that, but not much. They're very reasonable compared to, you know, an NHL game that's going to cost you $70, $80, $100.
Remember, this is the American Hockey League, so you're one level below the NHL. The American Hockey League usually sees a lot of guys who really could be on an NHL team, except that there's no room for them, or maybe there's a cap space problem. So you're really seeing tomorrow's stars today with the younger guys. Plus, you're seeing a lot of older guys looking to show that they still got what it takes to play in the NHL by playing in the American Hockey League. The American Hockey League has been around since the 1930s, and I remember as a teenager going out to Hershey and seeing the Hershey Bears play in what would look like a giant Quonset hut. The Hershey Bears were, at that time, a Philadelphia Flyers farm team, and they've since became a Washington Capitals farm team.
Well, do all the NHL teams, talk about my stupidity, do they all have farm teams?
Yes, they do.
That's different than the American Hockey League.
Well, the American Hockey League
is not the farm team.
Yeah, they are.
They're the farm teams. Okay.
The Phantoms are the Flyers farm team, and they wear uniforms that are exact match to the Flyers, and they were playing the Montreal Canadiens farm team. So these are absolutely future NHL players. I recognize a few of the names, mostly young guys just drafted out of the junior hockey ranks in Canada, and a very high quality of play. I mean, there were some guys that were absolutely, they're going to play in the NHL soon. Montreal has a guy, or St. John's has a guy, soon to be on Montreal. He's 6'6", 240.
Big guy.
Plays center. Takes face-offs, back checks, and he's a leading scorer on the team. So,
and what's his name?
McConnor, Matt McConnor, I believe his name is. Yeah, there's no doubt this guy's playing in the NHL.
Really?
No doubt about it.
Really? Did you see Sean Morin and Gotis Behar playing for Philadelphia, both back on defense?
I did.
You're going to see those guys playing in Philadelphia. It's my prediction by February, because the Flyers have gone 1-7-1 over their last 9 games.
Well, they spent all their energy beating the Rangers in a shootout, and it's been downhill since.
Yeah, yeah. The real problem you're going to see with American Hockey League players is that they get pulled up to the big team. So you might follow a guy for 3 or 4 months. Next thing you know, he's with the big club, which, of course, is a positive thing. The other good thing about the American Hockey League is that the arenas are smaller. It's a whole lot less expensive to go to a game, as you correctly pointed out. But as so many of the smaller towns like Allentown have decided that they need to find a way to revitalize their city center with an arena and then to put programming in there besides the circus or the the town's flower show or something like that, what you're going to get more and more of is what I call minor league entertainment. Good quality, plenty of value, exciting games. And, they're certainly worth a sports guy's trip. I'd love to see if we could organize a bus to go up there.
Sure, that'd be great.
Perhaps on a Saturday night or a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, so it's a good time for kids to come as well. And,
what's their season?
These teams will give you a deal.
And what kind of a season do they have there?
They match the NHL season. They started, they're about a month into their season, and they play until the spring.
And how was the arena filled? I mean, how many?
Probably 3/4 full. Capacity is a little over 9,000, so they probably had 7,000 people there.
And is it easy to get into?
Very. It's literally 2 turns from my house, Pat. And it's a half hour away, but it's Route 22 to 7th Street, and you drive about 2 or 3 miles on 7th Street, and it's in front of you. $4 to park. It's really, it's a tremendous experience. It's as close as you can get to the NHL without being there.
Well, but also for kids, and I mean, I have to tell you, I was impressed at how many people take their children to the Devils games. I mean, that's an expensive outing. I couldn't believe the cost of a hot dog, But seriously, but so something like that, you know, as long as it's good quality hockey.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, and it would be a good way for kids to really, especially little ones who want to play hockey or are playing hockey, you know, to see how, you know, they can advance or someone else has advanced. A great idea.
The funny thing I'm sitting there with my wife, Dawn, and we're sitting kind of in the corner. And I said, you know, they have nets around the back of the goals to protect the fans. I said, just keep your head up because you never know. Puck could come flying up here. And she says, oh, yeah, right. A puck's going to come up here. As she says this, puck comes up and lands in the seat next to her.
Oh,
and
you're kidding.
And it went over our head, ricocheted off, I guess, the level above us, and came down, landed in the seat next to us.
Well, exciting. That would if that hit your head, I'm sure you'd.
They do a great job of security. The netting is very high. The puck came up,
right,
hits behind us and fell down. A hockey puck getting hit in the head would hurt you, but it was not traveling like guided missile, like a direct shot would have. It was pretty neat, though. I mean, timing is everything, right? I'm just telling her, yeah, watch out. She's like, yeah, go on. A puck's going to land here.
That's a great I told you so. I told you so. Well,
honey, grab that before those kids do.
There you go. Well, you know.
Did you get the puck?
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. The other neat thing is.
And you get an I told you so for the next week.
I just shrugged my shoulders. I didn't have to say anything. But.
The neat thing is you're closer to the ice. You can actually see the play. And if you are down, or actually with seats on the ice or near the ice within two or three rows, you'll realize just how fast the game is.
Oh, it's incredible.
As these guys go past you. And in the NHL, it's even faster. So you're going to see a very good quality of hockey. I always say it's a cut above college hockey, even for the good college teams like BC or North Dakota State. And you're going to see an awful lot of people who have some hockey players who are not that much older than 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Because by 23 or 24, if they're in the AHL and they haven't been up to the big club for a couple of times, they may never get to the NHL. The NHL is pretty cap heavy right now. There's not an awful lot of cap space being cleared. So there's an attraction to move younger guys up. But not so many, because very often players who have no movement contracts are going to be healthy scratches with a lot of the NHL teams, and they'll simply play other people.
It also seems to me that there must be the talent pool must be so much larger now than it was years ago, because you have so many kids playing hockey and really dedicated to it. I mean, what was amazing to me is all the parents I knew that used to have to get up and take their kids to hockey at 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's the only time they could get ice time.
There are so many more. We don't realize it, I don't think, Pat, because we don't really live in a hockey hotbed. There are so many American hockey players in the NHL now as compared to when I was growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you have almost every country in Europe sends players to the NHL. So. And they're coming through the minor league system too now. I mean, there were Russians, there were Finns, there were Swedes all playing in the game the other night. The amazing thing to me was I thought I would really notice a difference between the speed of an NHL game and the speed of a minor league game. And you know what? There wasn't much difference. Yeah, I would say the speed is negligible. A couple times the play got a little frazzled, and you don't often see that in the NHL. Sometimes you do, but you often don't see it. Once or twice I noticed that, but other than that, you know, you close your eyes, you don't look at the names on the back of the uniforms, you think you're at an NHL game. So I recommend it to anybody listening out there that has any interest in hockey whatsoever or looking for something different to do with the family. I definitely recommend.
And especially if you have kids who are starting out playing hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, it always seems to me that was one of the reasons when I was growing up that, you know, boys wanted to be baseball players because they would get to go to see baseball. And now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't take your girls, because you should absolutely, you know, take your girls. They need to be sports fans. And girls are playing hockey.
Oh, that's absolutely true. The Princeton women's hockey team is a very good team from what I've heard. I have not been to one of their games in a very long time, but I went to a couple about 8-10 years ago, and it was fun. It's been fun to watch and a good quality game.
They just, last week, or maybe it was Monday night, they had the latest wave of inductees to the National Hockey League Hall of Fame.
That's right.
The Hockey Hall of Fame. And there was at least one female inducted from the 1998 Olympic team. Was it Granato?
Yeah, Cammy Granato.
I believe it was Cammy Granato.
Her brother played for the Boston Bruins for a while.
And the Rangers.
And the Rangers. That's right. I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. It's underground, strangely enough. And it's a real trip to be able to go there because not only can you see all kinds of neat things, but you can they actually have a lot of interactive stuff. You can go sit in a replica of the Montreal Canadiens locker room from the 1960s and put on Jean Beliveau's gloves or sit in front of Maurice Richard's locker and lace up his skates on your feet. Of course, my feet are bigger than his were. But you can do that. Additionally, you can play goalie against some of the NHL's best shooters.
Well, that would be fun, wouldn't it? That would be fun for anyone to...
Yeah, or...
I don't think... I think it's hard to appreciate really what the goalie has to do and, you know, how many saves they really make.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
When we were there, I managed to stop 5 out of 18 shots by Wayne Gretzky and Jari Kurri. But I couldn't score on Eddie the Eagle Belfour because they also have an exhibit where you can fire a puck at an NHL goalie. And I picked Ed Belfour, who at that time was playing for Chicago or who had just retired. So it's almost like a virtual reality sort of game. The other very cool thing is if you wanted to be a play-by-play announcer, you can sit in front of a microphone in front of a big screen and actually do a play-by-play broadcast of any of a number of games.
Well, that would be
game
fun.
With Calgary, Vancouver.
For a hockey fan.
Perfect
I
for sports guys.
For any sports guy, it would
you know,
be fun.
I wouldn't be able to do hockey. I think I could do football, but I don't think I could do hockey. But
got
to
talk fast.
Well, it's not even so much talking fast, but to know, you know, everybody and what they're doing and really, really understanding a game. In order to do that, I know our son announces hockey at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls. But you really have to know hockey in order to do that. And you're right, talk fast.
It's very interesting to go there because they have hockey uniforms from the 20s and 30s and even from 1900. And I never knew this until I'd gone there, but it used to be that they would play 7 guys a side instead of 6. Hmm. 3 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie. Another thing is they talked about Lord Stanley's Cup and where it came from and how the tradition...
Oh, I know that.
The tradition started...
The tradition
everybody's
started
name on
in
it.
Canada, right?
Yeah.
In the 1890s.
That's right.
1890s. And
Lord Stanley was Governor General of Canada. And each city would put together a team, and they would play in a round robin. And when you won the game, first it was like a punch bowl. But they would engrave everybody's name on the bottom of the punch bowl, you know, on the edge, of the base of it. And so they thought that was a great idea. So they did it again next year and the next year. And after 100 years, you got a punch bowl that's about 4 stories tall. So they started taking the names off of the levels of a punch bowl off the bottom. But you can actually see the cup that has all of the names, starting from when they began giving this out. In one of the restored, I think it was a church or something, it has stained glass windows. So you feel like you're going not just into the Hockey Hall of Fame, but the Hockey Cathedral of Fame. And the way the stained glass light comes down, and this was in an afternoon in July, which is the best time to see Toronto because the snow is just about gone. The way the light was hitting it,
oh, come on. Toronto
amazing.
Is not that cold. Toronto is across from Detroit.
Kind of.
Yeah, oh, it is.
Well, Pat, I've been in Toronto at the end of January and in February, and when the wind comes off that lake, it's cold.
Well, and that's the, Chicago, same thing. But
yeah, and the other thing about Chicago is, you know what's about Toronto? You know what's between Toronto and the North Pole?
Edmonton, Canada.
Nope. Actually, not much.
Actually, not much. Dawson City. No, you're right. If you'd have to go west to go up to Edmonton or
Edmonton's, but there it's cold.
I mean, Edmonton now. If you wanted to go to a place that would be cold, Edmonton was cold.
No, I've been to Edmonton. I've been to Edmonton in July.
Well, you haven't been there in January.
No, I was there in February of 1974. Boy, was it cold.
In February.
Yeah.
Boy, was
it cold. I went to the Rexall Center. I actually got to watch Wayne Gretzky play. But boy, was it cold. It is amazing how people can tolerate it. But, you know, they just are matter of fact about the cold, just like we are about rain or sunshine.
Oh, come on. We complain all the time if there's any rain.
Well, we complain when it's hot. We complain when it's cold. We complain when it's
raining. Well, we're from New Jersey. We're supposed to. Canadians don't complain as much as we do. I think that's because their teeth are chattering too much in the cold weather. But, you know, Pat, it's the bottom of the hour.
Well, I guess then we better
play some
news.
Probably hit the money button here.
We don't need to play news, but I think we should talk about some of our sponsors.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimos Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Visit njweightlossgroup.com to schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so call 855-464-THIN. That's 855-464-THIN. Or visit njweightlossgroup.com. That's njweightlossgroup.com. They can't wait to see you look great.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. will work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Pat and Heidi & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard, Corky & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
He was friends with my cousin. Great manners.
Well, you know, we just passed Veterans Day, and I wanted to say a shout-out and thanks to all their veterans for their service, both in all of the wars in the Mideast, Grenada, Vietnam, and all the other foreign wars. We don't do enough for our veterans. I read the other day that veterans are waiting a lot of time to get care at Veterans Administration hospitals and things like that. One of the things that was a little surprising to me, Ken, was you know how you watch a football game or a hockey game or a baseball game and there's some very patriotic moment where they're saluting veterans? I didn't realize that the leagues are actually being paid for that. I was a little surprised.
Yeah, it seems like a not very savory
John,
way to cash
you
in. You know, I mean, the teams are cashing in, and I don't think that's the way they should be cashing in.
I
think they should be doing that gratis. What do you think?
I think so, too. I think it should be gratis. I don't understand why.
Wait a minute. I just got into the
pay
phone
for that.
Call here.
We have John Manfred on.
What's gratis?
I guess that means it's headphone time.
So John is asking what you're talking about.
What are we talking about? I sometimes have to ask myself that.
Well, we were just talking about, we just passed Veterans Day, and it's come to light now that the teams actually get paid to honor, so often we see veterans honored at games and so on. And they actually,
every game you go to now.
They actually get paid to do that. And
what?
You're kidding.
Pay them.
The Department of Defense, our tax dollars actually pay for that.
No.
I kid you not.
You are kidding me.
Nope.
That is terrible.
Nope. When you go to the baseball game or the football game, and all of a sudden there's the soldiers, the color guard marching out with the flags and the Star Spangled Banner.
Somebody
being
gets
sold,
paid for that.
Or they honor somebody who just came back from Afghanistan and thank them for their service. That's because we taxpayers are paying for that.
Oh, I can't believe it. I just cannot believe that.
It just came to light in one of the hearings.
I've never heard that before. What's the source?
I've seen that in
the New York Times.
Articles.
The New York Times, the Washington Post. Additionally, it was on CNN, and there was actually a Senate hearing. I'm sorry, a congressional hearing by the Armed Services Committee about that. I was actually shocked. I don't shock easily, but I was shocked about that.
You'd think there'd be a better way to spend taxpayer dollars, and that the team wouldn't have to do
that. Organizations would do it voluntarily and not have to get paid to do it.
Right,
exactly.
Of course. I mean, because remember, for years there were at least in Green Bay at the Packer games, there were the flyovers, and I don't think they required the teams to pay, the Air Force for the jets flying over.
No, I don't think so.
You see flyovers all the time. That's an excellent question.
That's a good one. I don't think you would be paying for. You would be paying.
A lot of fuel they use.
You'd have the government pay for a flyover, but you had a lot of those moments that where somebody's on the field or being honored or sitting on the bench or something like that. And the leagues were getting paid for that.
Oh, I can't believe it. I think we need to do a little more follow-up with that, because I do regret the fact that they're no longer doing the flyovers, from my understanding. And they were flying over. The last time I saw a flyover at the Packer at Lambeau, I think they were flying out of Maryland. I mean, and they would be precise.
They have to fly 1,000 miles to get there.
Yeah, they would.
It only take them 15 minutes, but
I know. But, I mean, it was just unbelievable how precisely they were flying over when you think about how far they were coming. But if that's the case, that's really pretty outrageous.
Yeah, that's somewhat disappointing. Because all of this, if you remember, started with after the 2001 attacks.
Right.
That's when they started doing these things at games. And it seems to me that's when I recall it. Because you're at the height of patriotism, and I think people enjoyed seeing it, but I don't think anybody thought that the government was paying for it.
Yeah, it's a shame the teams are using that as some sort of a
patriotic
profit center.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, come on. As if they need any more profits. If I listen to any more commercials.
What are you saying? There's 108 sports teams. Every one of them, except the greedy Yankees, I guess, every one of them cries poor mouth.
Well, remember something. I just went on the internet, and let me read to you what we've got. The Department of Defense paid 14 different NHL teams a total of $5.4 million over the last 4 years in exchange for patriotic displays at games, per NJ.com's report. U.S. Senator Jeffrey Flake, a Republican of Arizona, last week called out the New Jersey Army National Guard for spending, which in part paid for a segment at a Jets home game in which soldiers were featured on the big screen, thanked for their service, and given tickets to the game. The Guard responded by asserting it was a useful recruitment tool.
Good one.
Well, it may be a useful recruitment tool, but the NFL team should not take money for that.
I can't see. Well, maybe if you're going to send them to a team with a winning record, it might be different.
Ooh.
At a recruitment tool. But this was my favorite team, in New York Jets. The team.
Well, no, they're doing it. They would only do it for Jet fans, because Jet fans would be so disgusted they'd want to do something other than go to games, and maybe joining the services, armed services, makes sense. to them.
Well, let me tell you that according to this article, the Jets were joined by the Falcons, Ravens, Bills, Bengals, Browns, Packers, Colts, Chiefs, Vikings, and Steelers, and each receiving multiple payouts, while the Cowboys, Dolphins, and Rams were each one-time recipients. The team that received the most money for this practice is the Falcons, with a total of $1,049,500.
That's just outrageous.
Coming their way in five payments. And then there's a list here. I'm waiting to see.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot
for
of
nothing.
Money.
Money for nothing.
Well, I was very disappointed. I read this article, and I know that everybody was so incredulous about this. I am surprised to see that the Philadelphia Eagles are not on that list. So that doesn't say much for the Eagles management, does it?
Bill, they're only going to fly over honorable turf.
That's my point.
No, this isn't flyovers, John. This is
standing on the field.
The government are paying the NFL teams for these people who are being honored. That we all think it's, you know.
Well, I think it's entirely appropriate. They've never done it in Philadelphia.
Well, that's true. It probably is appropriate, but you know, John. We people who have gone to school in Philadelphia have been kicked out of far better places than the armed forces.
This is true.
I would say that Philadelphia, if they, you know, I guess they haven't been offered the money, but the point is that's the only honorable team among that whole list if they aren't taking money.
Boy, I finally got Pat to say something good about the
Eagles.
Yeah. I'm going to go home and circle this day on my calendar.
Alert the media.
Friday, November 13th.
Well,
Friday the 13th.
I am totally outraged. I don't ever
you should be.
Write the Packers on anything, but I think I'm going to follow up on this one.
I think you
it's
should.
It's not just NFL. There's Major League Baseball is there, and I'm pretty sure NHL is there, and I would bet NBA. I really don't pay attention, but all the major sports.
In major leagues.
Well, but wait a second. I can understand if the Army puts on an ad, a recruiting ad, as just like any other sponsor. I could see where they'd have to pay for that. But anything, you know, honoring somebody on the field or recognizing or giving these guys veterans tickets, that's just outrageous if they have to pay for that.
You know, there was a time where if you wore a military uniform, you were admitted to a baseball game at no cost.
Really?
In fact, and it wasn't just
no, John, you can't go out and buy
a uniform.
Yeah, Halloween uniforms don't count.
Well, that's the thing that just occurred to me. I'll bet they stopped the practice because people were impersonating soldiers.
I don't know about that, but my I remember I had a family member who was in the Army. He was fairly high up. He, I think, retired as a brigadier general. He was in the Judge Advocate General Corps for many years. And I remember being taken to Yankee Stadium, probably it was 1960 or 61, and by my Uncle Bill, the colonel. And he was wearing his uniform, and they let him in. He didn't have to pay. He had to pay for my kid's seat. And I think that was 75 cents at the time. And he grumbled a little bit about it. But there was a time where if you were in uniform, you were admitted to at least baseball games for free. I don't know about any other sports, but there was baseball being a national pastime and people wanting to be associated with something patriotic. That was the case. I know also that if you were wearing a uniform, and it was I think up until the mid-70s, you could get on a train and go wherever you needed to go for free, so long as you also had your orders. So if you were told that you had to go from the Brooklyn Navy Yard to Great Lakes Naval Station outside of Chicago, I think it is.
It is.
We showed your orders, and if
but I think they still do that on the airplanes, don't they?
I don't know. Do they?
I thought they did, but maybe I'm wrong. I thought that that the military still flew on commercial airlines, but no, that's just something I'm probably wrong about.
I do recall, Bill, that the uniformed military people got in free at baseball games. I think for some reason they stopped that in the mid-70s. Probably because of all the anti-military sentiment coming out of the Vietnam War.
Oh, that's probably
a very
true.
Good point, Ken. Yeah, you're probably right about that.
It's a shame, but you know, at the time,
that was the feeling. Yeah. I can remember at Boston College in the mid '70s, the ROTC group came in and set up a station, if you would, on the campus, and the kids were rioting. Kids were picketing. They were throwing stuff at them. Get out of here. Make love, not war. All that stuff. Because at that time, that was the sentiment. You know, we got out of Vietnam, and we didn't want to see any wars anymore. And you know, last thing you wanted to think about was military.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a very nice point, Ken. Never would have thought of that, but I think you're absolutely correct.
Well, remember there is a whole generation that managed to not end up in Vietnam, and yet we had people here today a little earlier, right, Pat, that were Vietnam vets.
Right. Well, they talked about it because
a lot of them talk about it with a lot of resentment.
Well, but it was also a very unfair draft. You know, the upper middle class kids were going to college and getting deferments, and the other guys were, you know, getting nailed with the draft. I think that's one of the reasons that there's such a difference today. Although I also think that the difference today is that we were attacked on 9/11. And I think that the mood of the country and the mood of everyone, including young people, it's different because of that. And, you know, who cared about Vietnam? Most of us didn't even know where it was when we heard that we were sending soldiers there. So anyway, I had a good discussion with them, and I try to do something every year with respect to Veterans Day. And if we had more time, which we don't have today, we would talk about, what happened to sports in this country during World War II, because it really changed it.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
it's
interesting about
the
that.
Chicago White Sox have a one-armed player?
No, St. Louis.
That was St. Louis that did.
Okay.
But more importantly, right after Pearl Harbor was bombed, sometime in, I believe, February of 1942, Roosevelt was asked whether they were going to suspend baseball for the duration of the war, and he said, absolutely not. It's important for morale.
It's important for the morale of the people.
And even though a lot of very good baseball players got drafted, like Yogi Berra or Phil Rizzuto.
Well, I'm not so sure they were drafted. A lot of them volunteered.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
Ted Williams,
yeah. Because of his fantastic eyesight, became a very talented fighter pilot, I think, in the Pacific.
Yep. He flew something like 100 missions. Yeah.
Right.
Didn't
Korea.
He also?
Then he went
right.
Back for Korea.
He served
he
in Korea as well.
5 years of his prime.
I remember hearing
in the military.
I remember hearing Yogi Berra speak, and somebody asked what was the proudest moment of his life that he think it was the most significant to him. And he said, "Well, besides my marriage and the birth of my children, it was serving on a ship supporting the D-Day invasion." He was on a destroyer or cruiser that was firing shells and rockets at the beach when the first wave went in. And he described it very graphically. So you had an awful lot of major league ball players who left the baseball field for the battlefield or for the Navy. The other thing that's very interesting is when Roosevelt insisted that baseball continue for morale. We had the formation of a women's baseball league.
Absolutely.
There's that great movie with Gina Davis and Madonna.
I don't know if it was a great movie, but they certainly played ball.
I liked it.
I loved that movie.
Really?
Remember, Pat, there's no crying in baseball.
come on, Tom Hanks. You can't beat Tom Hanks.
I think Tom Hanks was great in that movie. Jumpin' Jimmy Dugan. I didn't know there was a Jumpin' Jimmy Dugan, and I bet they made his character up. But I always got a kick out of that movie.
Yeah, it was different back then, that's for sure. It's hard to believe.
So
yeah, go ahead.
How
shoot.
Are the New York Rangers doing?
So far, so good. You know, they lost some players in the offseason. San Luis retired, and they had some other people leave via, you know, free agency. And they've come out the season just as strong as last year. So I'm hoping that they can continue it and get a good position in the playoffs, and maybe this is the year Lundqvist can get in there. He has been absolutely unbelievable this year. I don't know if you've watched the Ranger game. You know, I pretty much watch every game, and I've never seen anything like it.
I think the main attraction for watching a Ranger game is just how good a goaltender Henrik Lundqvist is. He has good defensemen, no doubt about it, but believe me, he has their backs, and he's one of the most acrobatic, talented guys I've seen.
You know, they had some crazy stat last night. You know, as we get more sophisticated with all the sports, they keep tracking things that they never tracked before. And the Rangers play-by-play announcer said that there's some sort of a stat that they track for goalies on what are considered wide-open shots. In other words, it's a one-on-one shot, and the NHL average goalie stops 50% of those shots. So you got a 50-50 shot when you're wide open. Lundqvist, so far this year, has stopped 21 out of 22.
Wow.
That's great.
So
wow.
He's like 90% above average. Is he going to keep that up? No. But it just kind of...
Math wasn't your strong suit, Ken, huh?
What do you mean? Math is my strong suit.
21 out of 22 is a lot more than 90%.
No, because 11 out of 22 is 50%. 21 out of 22 is 90-some-odd percent, so it's almost 50% better.
Yeah.
It's about 90% better than 50%, right?
You're the math major, John. What do you think?
Well,
90%.
Hey, look, all I know is I'd rather have 21 out of 22 rather than 50%.
So that's 10 goals. Theoretically, that's 10 goals that he saved over the average goalie, and 10 goals is probably
three games
worth a bunch of games to the Rangers. And they're what, 12-2, 13-2, something like that.
And the New Jersey Devils are creeping them up on them. I think the Rangers are starting to look over their shoulder a little bit. We finally have some competitive hockey back in New Jersey. And the Devils are fresh off a sweep of the Stanley Cup champion Blackhawks.
All right. He's gone. He's toast. Bye.
Okay, but you know at least John had the decency not to remember the Philadelphia dumpster fires, who've gone 1-7-1 over the last nine games,
well,
and I'm getting a little worried.
About dumpster fires, want to do a prediction? Any predictions on football? Because we really need to wrap this up.
Oh my gosh,
guys.
It's 5:58.
Wow, the time flies when you're having fun, guys. Well.
If my Packers don't win, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can tell you there will be some real unhappiness in the Smiths' house. We actually turned off the game last week after Carolina after the first half, and then we taped it and decided, all right, we'll go back and watch the last half. But what a disaster.
But you know something you have to understand? The Carolina Panthers are one of those teams that look like they're catching lightning in the bottle.
Oh, they looked good. I mean, they really did look good. But
still undefeated, right? They haven't lost a game
yet. They're
still
undefeated. You know, they're
and they're worthy of it.
They are.
Most of their games haven't been close.
I'm telling you, Cam Newton looked good. He really looked like he had come into his own. And I'm not so sure I realized how big he is.
Oh yeah, he's.
I mean, when he runs, you know. It takes somebody to really get him down.
You know what? There's three undefeated teams left, right? New England, Carolina, Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got Lions at Packers. I think the Packers get well on that game. What do you think?
Well, if they can't win that game,
you got big problems.
You know, big problems.
I agree. And remember, they still have to play Minnesota twice. And Minnesota.
Play Detroit twice, Minnesota twice. They've played the Bears once, and then they play the Bears again on Thanksgiving.
That's right.
So they've got a lot of division games.
That's absolutely true. And I think it's interesting that they've piled all the division games towards the end of the season. So, you know, football matters the most in November. Let's go now to the Cowboys-Buccaneers. I think Jameis Wilson really impressed me. Not I think, I know. He really impressed me. If he had decent receivers, they would have beaten the Giants.
I think they'll beat the Cowboys.
I think they will, too.
The Cowboys haven't won a game since Romo got hurt.
Right. That's right. That
really shows you the value of the quarterback in the NFL.
Now, exactly. Now, Panthers-Titans.
Although I'm not so sure they would have won all those games if Romo had been in. I really
Probably
not,
but... 0-6 is pretty pretty tough.
Well, I always enjoy the scowl on Jerry Jones's face when there's a minute to go and the other team is taking the knee because they're ahead of Dallas by 2 touchdowns. For some reason, I get a great deal of pleasure out of that. It's probably sadistic on my part.
Well, we better wrap it. So what else do you want to quickly
talk about? I'll tell you the interesting game